Welcome to another Northeast Roadshow screencast. As I'm recording this, Windows 7 is set to go live, so it's great timing to learn how to leverage the new features of Windows 7 in your applications. In this session, I'm going to take a deep dive into working with the Windows taskbar and jump lists by transforming an old MDI application to take advantage of some of the new Windows Lightup features. Before we dive in, though, and in the name of shameless self-promotion, if you haven't yet had a chance to get a good overview of what's in Windows 7 from both an application compatibility and a developer perspective, you might want to check out a few of the other screencasts I've recorded in the past. Likewise, be sure to download the Windows 7 Training Kit. It provides a host of screencasts, presentations, code samples, and hands-on labs to get familiar with the major new features of Windows 7, from multi-touch to sensors to the taskbar. As with all of the Microsoft Windows operating systems, Windows 7 is written with unmanaged code, C APIs, and COM interfaces. For those of us in the managed world of Visual Basic and C#, it can be daunting working with the necessary P-invoke and COM interop code to make things happen. That's where the Windows API Code Pack comes in. The Code Pack provides a wrapper around many of the new Windows 7 APIs, giving us managed developers familiar .NET classes and interfaces. The Code Pack is delivered as a series of assemblies comprising different features such as DirectX, various dialogues, sensors, and so on. You can download the Code Pack from the URL shown here, and it comes complete with source code so you can get a better understanding of how it all works under the covers. We'll be working with the taskbar namespace of the Code Pack for the rest of this session. The namespace essentially wraps the iTaskbarList3 COM interface, which is the entry point to most of the taskbar and jump list functionality. Let's start by looking at a before and after picture. Here I'm running an MDI application built using Windows Forms technology. It's a rudimentary photo viewer where each photo I open is displayed in a child window. Although simple, it's probably representative of applications you may have built years ago on Windows XP, but still run today. This application is running on Windows 7 just fine, and if you look at the taskbar, you can see we get the default hover experience, a thumbnail of the window, and if I hover over that, it will engage the arrow peak feature as well. Right mouse click on the taskbar icon and you get a default jump list. Here the jump list shows three options: start a new instance of the application, pin the application, and close the application. By default, all running applications will get these three options. Now I'll close this app and open the application after it's been updated to take advantage of some of the new taskbar features. Notice that the icon is decorated with a red circle and a number. The number indicates the number of photos open in my application. If I hover over the icon, I see a separate preview for each of the photos open in the application, versus just the thumbnail version of the MDI application as it currently appears. And as I hover over the thumbnail, the photo from that thumbnail is shown in the arrow preview on the desktop. Now look at the jump list. It's a bit more interesting now and consists of several sections. There's a pin section at the top indicating my favorite pictures, a most recently used section, a section for common tasks, in this case these tasks go out over the web and bring in the photo of the day from Bing and other sites, and there's also the standard three options at the bottom, the ones you get free with any application. So how did I get from the XP application to the Windows 7 application? That's what we'll look at next. Let's take a look at the code for the XP application. As I mentioned, it's a standard MDI application, so there's code in the main program to open the MDI container. And there's code in the MDI Forms File Open menu to invoke Show Image, which accepts the file name or URL of the image and opens a new child window displaying that image. That's the baseline for the Windows 7 application. Now let's take a look at the updated application and dissect the code that was added to provide all of the additional features that I just demonstrated. You'll note from the references that I've pulled in a couple of the Windows API Code Pack assemblies. These are the managed code wrappers to the underlying Windows 7 APIs that I mentioned earlier. By the way, the source code for this application is available on Code Gallery at the URL you see on the screen, so feel free to pause the recording and download it now if you want to follow along more closely. Now in the main program code, you'll see I've added a few lines of code here. I'm setting an application ID, more specifically an application user model ID. It's simply a string that provides an anchor point, if you will, for the various aspects of the taskbar. Each application has an application user model ID, and windows within the application can be associated with different IDs as well, giving them a distinct icon on the taskbar. When you add thumbnail previews or jump list items, they are associated either implicitly or explicitly with an application user model ID, which determines the taskbar icon to which they will associate. What that provides is a bit of flexibility to show multiple taskbar icons for different portions of the same application. Say you have a large ERP application and you'd like separate icons to appear for the personnel management section versus the policy and procedures section of the same application. Or you might have multiple applications, EXEs, that work together and you want them to share a taskbar presence. The application user model ID enables these types of scenarios. In this specific application, it's not strictly necessary, but sets groundwork for future expansion. Also note that I've added a conditional statement testing for taskbar support. The implementation for that is below and uses a small bit of COM interop code to determine if the iTaskbarList3 interface, identified by its globally unique ID, is accessible. If it is not, as it wouldn't be on Vista, code should bypass taskbar-specific functionality in this application. The API code pack does have a series of helper methods to detect the current operating system. However, that's a coarse-grained approach, and it's generally a better practice to check specifically for the feature you want to access versus the operating system version itself. We also have a call to a registry helper class here. What this helper class does is add a few entries to the registry to associate this application, picviewer.exe, with files bearing the JPEG extension. Doing so enables the integration with the built-in Windows Shell functionality to track the files most recently and most frequently used by the given application, which in turn enables the appearance of the recent file list on the jump list. In most cases, you won't register file extensions in the application proper, but rather as part of some setup process when your application is installed. If you're doing that already, you'd see the recent file section of the taskbar automatically. By default, the recent files will be displayed, but you can override in code, and we'll see a snippet shortly, and choose to show the most frequently used files, as IE8 does, or perhaps neither. Now let's move on to some of the other functionality this application brings to light. Notice that I've added event handlers to the child form, one for when a form opens and one for when it closes. Both call setChildCountOverlay, passing in the number of child windows that are open when the event completes. The majority of the code in setChildCountOverlay is not Windows 7 specific, but rather creates an in-memory 16x16 icon consisting of a red circle with a number reflecting how many child windows or images are currently open. The sole piece of code to display that new icon as an overlay, along with a tooltip, appears at the end of the method. Taskbar Manager here is a static class implemented by the Windows API code pack and provides the entry point to much of the functionality that Windows 7 provides for the taskbar experience. In addition to the overlay, you can also set a progress bar indicator on the taskbar icon, as well as change the color of that indicator to reflect its current state: green for active, yellow for indeterminate, and red for error. Now let's take a look at more code just below. Initialize jump list. This method sets up the jump list customization. Recall that we want to get the recent file list automatically, as well as the options to start, pin, and close our application, but we want additional customization in the form of three user tasks that will access the picture of the day from Bing, Kodak, and NASA. To provide those options, we need to customize the jump list. User tasks is one point of customization, and tasks generally imply taking some action, either with this application or perhaps an entirely different one. You can add your own custom destinations as well in the jump list. Destinations are generally documents that your application is registered to handle. The recent file list, for instance, is comprised of destinations, but you might want to have your own custom categories in which you want to place common documents or perhaps templates pertinent to your application. Whether you are customizing via tasks or destinations, the approach for adding them to the jump list is similar. You can see here that the jump list is just another class implemented by the Windows API code pack that wraps the underlying taskbar COM API. The line just below indicates whether or not the jump list should show recent or frequent files or neither. Here it's set to recent, which is the default, but the code helps make the intent explicit. A jump list is, well, a list, so you populate it accordingly. Our jump list shows three tasks, so we're adding links here. And each link is described by the application to be executed, an icon to display on the jump list, and arguments to that application. Here the argument is actually a URL returned from a helper class that scrapes the appropriate picture of the day site to extract the actual image URL. Once you have the list of items to be added to the jump list, you need to make a call to refresh the list. The list isn't updated in place, but only when you choose to commit the changes via the refresh method. This is the code to create the jump list, but now we need to call it. The jump list requires that there be an associated active window handle. So I've added an event handler to the shown event here to initialize the jump list. The initialization is parceled to a separate thread to make for a better UI experience, since the jump list initialization relies on some external web calls to get URLs for the pictures of the day. It takes a few moments and would otherwise steal time from the UI thread, which is working to display the main window. There's other implementation options here, of course, like for instance not accessing the picture of the day URL until it's actually been requested by the user. What results from this taskbar initialization, of course, is the list of user tasks in the jump list, which I can now execute directly on the taskbar icon even though the application isn't currently running. One final remark about the jump list. You cannot programmatically modify the pinned section or the three free options at the bottom. The philosophy of Windows 7 is that the user is in charge, so modifying these options could lead to an inconsistent experience across Windows 7 applications. Likewise, you should also try to respect the user's wishes in terms of destinations that they may have explicitly removed from the jump list. If you re-add items on startup that the user just removed, it doesn't make for happy users. The API does expose a list of items explicitly removed by the user, but it's incumbent on the developer to make sure those items aren't forced back into the jump list. Now let's move on to the preview experience. Remember how the XP application simply showed the MDI window in the preview? But the updated version shows a preview for each image open in the application. Let's take a look at the code that makes that happen. As each child window is opened, a tab thumbnail instance is created. Tab thumbnail is another class in the Windows API code pack that abstracts the work required to display child windows in the thumbnails. Under the covers, the Windows Desktop Manager is handling that aspect of the taskbar experience, but it only knows how to handle top-level windows, like the MDI container. What Tab Thumbnail does is build a proxy main window that we don't really see, so that the Windows Desktop Manager can pick that window up and display it in the preview. What the preview displays, though, is up to you. In the code here, the image displayed in the child window is copied and set to be the image for the preview, but it doesn't have to be that way. You might choose to display a clip region of the current image, or a completely different image altogether. Of course, that might utterly confuse the user, but it's simple enough to do so from a coding perspective. As each thumbnail is created, it's added to the tab thumbnail collection maintained by the taskbar instance for the given application. If you take a look at the taskbar previews, you'll see that there's a small button below each image. Likewise, when videos are running in Windows Media Player, a set of VCR buttons is displayed at the bottom to control the video. These are all examples of thumbnail toolbar buttons, button controls that can be added to the tab thumbnail. You can add up to 7 buttons, and just like any button, you can wire up a click event to carry out a specific action, generally for the document that's represented on the thumbnail. In this application, the click initiates code, not Windows 7 specific code, to set the desktop background to the selected image on the thumbnail. You could decide to add a print capability, for instance, or an option to email the image to a friend, perhaps. While you can't add or remove buttons dynamically, you can hide and show and enable and disable them programmatically. Well, we've stepped through pretty much all of the new taskbar functionality, but there are a few key things not implemented in this application. I mentioned earlier that your application should obey users' wishes in terms of items that they've previously removed from the jump list. This code doesn't take that into account. There's also no attempt to choreograph the thumbnail previews with the active child window in the MDI application. For instance, you can close or maximize via a context menu on the thumbnail, but that action is not currently applied to the active child window. I'm leaving all that as an exercise to the viewer. I want to close out this session with a few references. The first is the XP to Windows 7 reference application. This application, which is much more substantial than the small one we've been working with, also works well in Windows XP. But in Windows 7, multiple new features are unlocked, not just the taskbar, but touch, sensors, libraries, and more. As such, the application source code is a great reference for you as you work to update your own applications, but strive to maintain backwards compatibility. And here's a final slide with a number of other references on Windows 7 development in general, and more focused references on specific features. Hopefully this screencast has left you well armed to give your existing applications the taskbar treatment, and get you started making your application truly differentiate itself on Windows 7. Thanks for joining me, and have a great rest of your day.